to State Affairs. I'm calling the meeting order. It is 3 minutes after 9, Thursday, February 18th, 2010. Please turn off all your electronic devices if you haven't already done so. Please allow the record to reflect that with us on my right is Senator Hollis French, Senator Kevin Meyer, and I'm Senator Menard. And I would introduce my committee person, Sarah Munson, over on my right. So today we're going to take up Senate Bill 260, Electronic and Telephone Cooperatives Voting, as well as SB 261, Alcohol Beverage Control Board Members. So I'm going to turn the gavel over to Senator Meyer, Vice Chair, as this is a committee bill. So we'll deal first with Senate Bill 260.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, are you going to present the bill or your staff?
I will.
Okay. Okay. Then Senator Menard, if you could introduce the bill, please.
Okay, if I can ask to just sit here.
Sure.
Senate Bill 260 puts in statute the ability for telephone and electric cooperatives to allow members to vote by electronic transmission as specified by the co-op's bylaws. The bill was filed by urging of co-ops around the state. Currently, co-op members may only vote in person or via postal service. This method, however, is outdated and could be having a negative impact on member participation in elections and other important matters. By allowing telephone and electronic co-ops to permit voting via electronic transmission approved in its bylaws, the legislature will make it so common 21st century practice may be applied to important public involvement matters. There is a zero fiscal note with this bill, and co-ops in every corner of Alaska will be enthused. The legislature has had the foresight to pass legislation important to their public process. This bill does not make electronic transmission voting mandatory, and co-ops can choose whether they want to partake or not. Already, however, MTA, Matanuska Telephone Association, members have voted to adopt a new bylaw allowing electronic transmission voting. All MTA and other co-ops need is for the legislature to amend the statutes to allow these co-ops to do so. Please help me in facilitating this quick passage of Senate Bill 260. And in your packet, you have letters, I think, from MTA, Chugat, Alaska, Golden Valley. Let me get to them here. Alaska Village Electric Co-op. So those are the co-ops that, and also Alaska Power Association, which is the association that represents a lot of the electrical association. Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Menard. Would you like to take questions now, or would you prefer to have your expert witness testify and then questions?
Yes, that would be good since he's
okay,
ready, willing, and able.
Okay, very good. Then let's go ahead and, first of all, is there anybody here from the administration that wants to comment on this? I don't see anyone. So we'll go to public testimony. We'll start with Mr. Steyer. So, Mr. Steyer, if you would, please, for the record, state your name and affiliation.
Good morning. My name is Phil Steyer. I am the Director of Government Relations and Corporate Communications for Chugach Electric, an Anchorage-based, member-owned cooperative that provides electric service. Chugach is strongly supportive of Senate Bill 260, and we appreciate the committee sponsorship of the bill. Senator Menard has done a good job characterizing the key points of the bill. Really, to restate, it makes this optional, not mandatory, for those co-ops that choose to do it, and in order to do it, they need to amend their bylaws. So really, it's sort of a two-step process. You elect that this is something that you want to do. You put it to your membership for a vote. The members of the co-op have the final say about whether or not the bylaws are amended to allow it. Chugach, as MTA has done, Chugach amended its own bylaws some years ago to enable us to do this if state statute is changed. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions? Senator French.
Thanks, and good morning, Mr. Steyer. Is this something that's happening outside our co-ops going to electronic voting?
They are in the lower 48. I don't know how widespread it is, but there are firms that provide this sort of service, and there are cooperatives in the lower 48 that have done it. I've spoken with a couple. We've had some of the firms that provide this service come and speak to us about providing it here in Alaska. So while it's not done in Alaska, it is done elsewhere in the country.
And if I could, just a couple questions. Any opposition to the bill?
There's no opposition to this that I know of. In getting to where we are today, looking at what you have in front of you, we have done a lot of work within the electric co-op group to sort of put this idea out there during our resolutions process in the Alaska Power Association, to take input from different cooperatives about what they thought of the idea, what they saw in terms of potential issues, and we've worked to resolve those to get the piece of legislation in front of you today that you're looking at, and really making this optional. It was the real key for co-ops. You know, co-ops don't want to feel they're being forced to offer something that may or may not be appropriate for them given their size or anything else. So only for those co-ops that think it's a good idea and whose members vote to amend their bylaws to allow it would this be done by. So,
and just last question, I see that it's got a zero fiscal note from the administration, but do you anticipate that this will cost the co-ops money or save them money if they implement electronic voting?
Speaking only for Chugach, I believe early on we'd have greater cost and later on perhaps lesser cost. And the reason I say that is I envision everyone will probably still be mailed a ballot packet for, you know, the first few years at least. In the ballot packet, you'll be presented this option of voting electronically, and there will be a method of doing that that will, you know, cost the co-op something to set up and process. Over time, we may be able to evolve to a system where members notify us in advance that they'd prefer to do it all electronically and not receive a mailed packet. And if we get to that point, then that should save money in the long term. So early on, I suspect we'll have some slightly increased cost. Later on, I expect costs could go down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. A couple questions, Mr. Steyer. First of all, you know, a lot of people are still a little skeptical of computers and electronics in general. And will there be a paper trail so that someone challenges the validity of electronic voting?
The point you raised, Senator, is one that we have considered too. And specifically, will there be a paper trail? I don't know the answer to that. That really depends upon the methodology used to implement electronic voting, and we haven't made a decision about that. But I think the point behind your question is, will this be secure? Mm-hmm. And my comment to that is, Chugach shouldn't engage in electronic voting, nor should any co-op, and in my opinion, unless they can ensure an election that is secure and that can withstand any challenge. And that is always what's in our minds as we lay out election procedures every year for the Chugach election. The goal is always to have an election process that's fair, that's secure, and that can withstand any challenge. And we should not implement electronic voting unless we're comfortable that those same standards could be applied to it. So specifically, will there be a paper trail? I think that depends upon the method we choose to implement electronic voting, and we haven't made that decision, so I can't say that.
Okay, well, very good. And I know sometimes your elections are pretty controversial, so I'm sure you're going to want to have any concerns taken care of before you go electronic or paper, whichever way you go.
If I may add something.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you,
Senator Menard.
Senator Meyer. This is similar to what the Permanent Fund Division has done, and they have announced now that this could be the last year that they're going to be receiving the PFD paperwork in the mail, because they're trying to get everyone to go electronic, too. So they have done their due diligence and have studied how they can do this, and they have to retrieve, just like all of us on the computer, if we throw something in the trash or as a draft, we can recoup that at some point. So I know that, you know, these different companies that you suggest that you would be looking at to get the contract to set this up would have those kind of securities in place.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Of course, the Permanent Fund Corporation has several people on staff to verify and validify the applications, and I'm not sure that's what you want to do for your election. But I do. There are other states that use electronic voting, and it works well. So there's no doubt in my mind that it can be done. Okay. So, any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Steyer. We do have several other people who want to testify. Is there Rich Gasway? Or were you on for questions, Rich?
Mr. Chair, we prepared the fiscal note, so we're available for questions. The fiscal note was based on our jurisdiction over electric and telephone cooperatives for a rate and, operational issues, but not your membership voting aspect, which is laid out in the fiscal note.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for joining us, Rich. And then Greg Verbeck with the MTA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
If you could just state your name again and your affiliation, please.
I will. My name is Greg Verbeck. I am Chief Executive Officer of Massachusetts Telephone Association, MTA. As some of you already know, MTA is a member of a telecommunications cooperative providing local, long-distance, wireless broadband, internet, CTV services. We serve an area of over 10,000 square miles stretching from Eagle River to Clear Anderson, as well as the village of Tione. I am testifying today in support of Senate Bill 260. As outlined in my letter to Senator Menard, the internet has changed forever the way we communicate and conduct business. Alaska leads the country in internet connectivity, and over the past 10 years, MTA has aggressively built out a state-of-the-art network capable of providing a high-speed broadband connection to 98% of our member owners. It is with this connectivity and efficiency and effectiveness it can bring that MTA proactively presented to its membership in 2007 a proposed bylaw change to allow for electronic voting. We explained to our members at that time that before implementation of this bylaw could take effect, the Alaska legislature would have to amend state cooperative law. Our members overwhelmingly adopted the bylaw change, so needless to say, I'm happy to see this committee put forth this legislation. It goes without saying that electronic voting will be faster and more efficient for MTA and its members. It will also save us considerable in postage and printing costs over time, as well as make county votes easier and more efficient, and support a greener world by helping to reduce wasted paper. I'd also like to note, based on some of the questions, that our bylaws include provisions that if the board decides to conduct an electronic voting, our members will have three options. Members may vote electronically, or they may vote in person at the meeting of the membership. Finally, for those members who request a paper ballot, they still vote by mail. Again, MTA has supported this bill, and would like to thank Senator Menard and the committee for having this hearing and allowing me to testify. That concludes my testimony.
Okay, great. Appreciate your testimony. Just a quick question I would have. So do you have an auditor or somebody on board during your elections to verify that somebody isn't voting in person and on paper and then electronically?
Yeah, we have an independent firm that conducts the election.
Okay, very good. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for joining us today, Greg. Is there anybody else who wants to testify, either online or here in Juneau? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public testimony. Any discussion amongst committee members? Any other remarks, Senator Menard?
I have none, Senator Meyer.
Okay, very good. He's got a good bill. Did a good job explaining it. If there's no other discussion, Senator French?
Thank you. I'd be happy to make the motion to move that Senate Bill 260 be passed out of this committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Is there any objections? Seeing none, then the bill moves out of committee. And with that, we'll stand at ease.
Good job, Mr. Meyer.
Good bill, man.
Alcohol Beverage Control Board members. And this bill is sponsored by Senator Olson. Would you like to come over? And please state your name and affiliation, please.
Yes, ma'am. Tim Benintendi, staff to Senator Donald Olson, the sponsor of the bill. And we've introduced Senate Bill 261 because it would respond to the acute array of alcohol-related problems, particular to small communities in rural Alaska. Such problems are well known, but wellness services cannot keep up with, let alone contain, the adverse impacts on small-town alcohol consumption and, of course, family-related matters. We feel the need is at hand to raise the profile of this problem in a public forum where more specific attention and action may be brought to address the plight in small communities. The state's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is composed of 5 members, 2 of whom must be actively engaged in the alcoholic beverage industry, and 3 of whom must represent the general public. Senate Bill 261 would redefine one of the public member seats to be a resident of a rural area. And the bill defines rural area as a community with a population of 4,500 or less that is not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks. It's felt that by sharpening the focus of one of the public member seats, a defined rural member could affect policy discussion and ABC board decisions in a positive way. Mm-hmm. This would be another tool in the fight, certainly not an end-all to the answer, not an end-all answer to the problem. And with this brief introduction, I'll take any questions you may have.
Okay. Do I have any questions? Thank you. Senator Meyer?
Yes. Thank you for your testimony. Can you give the committee some examples of communities that would qualify under this bill? Because Kodiak is over 5,000 and Bethel is certainly over 5,000. So
yes, Madam Chair, Senator Meyer. Kodiak would not qualify, as Bethel would not qualify. Bethel's population is 5,803 in the last census. Communities that would qualify, Dillingham at 2,264, Dillingham City. I guess I should say that I'm distinguishing cities or communities as opposed to census areas, because census areas often, very, very often go over certainly the $4,500 population figure that we're proposing. Dillingham would qualify. On Alaska, any community in the Lake and Peninsula Borough, and Nome itself, the city, and Kotzebue, the city. So, and I guess I should say, in any of these census areas, smaller communities would qualify also. I suspect in a region, once this bill were passed and became law, groups and entities in local areas might start to generate candidates eventually for public member seats on the ABC board. And by the way, we would not want this to take effect until the next available public member seat turns over.
May I follow
up? Senator Meyer.
Certainly some of the examples you gave, Dillingham and Alaska, Nome, They do serve alcohol there, but could it be that some of these areas under 4,500 that they're dry communities, and then in which case then do you want somebody from a dry community on the ABC board, or does it matter?
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, I would say yes, because even though dry communities officially are dry, in fact they still have problems, you know, alcohol-related problems, and the attendant social service problems in a lot of cases. So I would say a potential applicant from a community that's dry would be valid.
Okay.
The idea is to have representation on the ABC board that can bring forth problems. And again, it's not going to solve, you know, the major issues, but it's just another opportunity to bring specific focus into a forum where they can do something. Maybe there'll be a few nuggets along the way that will make a little difference.
Okay, thank you.
Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Mr. Benintendi. I like this bill. I think it's a good idea. I think, like Senator Meyer, I just have a couple questions about how we define rural area. I get what you're after, and I support it. I just want to make sure we all get there. Do our statutes define community? Do we know what that word means? I mean, how big of an area is a community?
Through the chair, Senator French, I think so, but I'm not 100% sure. The definition I originally looked at identified small communities at 5,500, and we felt that was too large because that would take in communities that, one, would get away from the real small communities we're trying to focus on, and two, there are usually resources are a little more available in some of those communities.
Sure. And I was just thinking about the Juneau region. You know, is Auk Bay a community? Mm-hmm. Is Douglas a community? Douglas is a city, but I don't know how big the population is. I don't know if Auk Bay is a community or not.
Madam Chair, yes. Senator French, I think because they're in the Juneau city and borough, they would probably not be eligible
subsumed
to
within that. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So you
a member from that area could.
I think you spoke to a road, if I can interject here. Road or rail is not connected by a road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Right.
So there's a
but
road.
Road or rail.
Not connected to Anchorage or Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
I mean,
I'm
not 100%.
We don't want someone from the greater Juneau area to be on the rural representative.
Right.
I'm just concerned that you could conceivably get there if community meant some subset of a city or a borough.
I understand, and I guess I'm just not prepared to answer that in that great detail.
Sure, sure. But again, I get what you're after, and I support where you're going, and so I just want to make sure we all get there. Thanks. Those are my questions.
Okay, thank you. And like Senator French, I think it's a very reasonable bill. My concern, I was going to just ask, too, on Southeast, where are some of the communities that you would target in this Southeast so we can just get a feel of?
Well, Madam Chair, pretty much any community in Southeast, I would say at this point, again, not being 100% sure, but outside of a borough, but for example, Ketchikan's population is up around 7,500, Ketchikan City, so anybody from the city would not qualify, but most villages and communities in Southeast would
Skagway
fit under this.
Or
yes, ma'am. Sitka's population is too big, for example, but Angoon. Any of the other communities.
Haines, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, some of the smaller communities in a census area.
Okay, are there any other questions? And we'll see if there's concerns. Okay, thank you very much for your testimony, and we'll go now to OffNet. We have Dale Fox. Dale, are you online from Alaska Char?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Would you state your name, please, and your affiliation, and give your testimony?
My name is Dale Fox, and I'm with Alaska Char. It represents licensees all over the state. I'm here to comment briefly on SB 261. I must admit Alaska Char was caught a little unprepared on this bill. It's only been 10 days since it was posted online. And as a result, our Government Affairs Committee has not had a chance to review and comment on this in person. So I don't know if this is a good idea or if it's a bad one or if there's unintended consequences or other activities. But the basic result I've got from emails from my members is we don't think that there's a problem. Governors throughout our history have done a great job of balancing boards. As was mentioned, there are five seats on the board. Two are from Anchorage, one is from Fairbanks, one is from Juneau, and one is from Cordova. And Cordova would fit the definition as provided in this bill as a rural representative of a community of under 4,500. And Bellum Cook is the current representative from that community. I'll point out that she's also the annual sobriety celebration chair in that community and is very concerned about alcohol issues. So while I don't know how our membership, once we get face-to-face, will decide on this one, I'd like to ask the committee to not pass the bill out until the industry has an opportunity to review and discuss the matter and come back to you with more sage comments.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fox, is that, does that end your testimony?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Yes, if I'm not sure if we will pass it out or not hold it or pass it out, but there is an opportunity. It will be going to Labor and Commerce next, and through emails or whatever your committee members would have an ample opportunity to, you know, certainly weigh in on this in either a positive or negative way at that time as well. Thank you, Mr. Fox.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Robert Forley from Regional Wellness Forum and Nome Youth Facility. Would you?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Bob Forley. I am a superintendent of the Nome Youth Facility and a member of the Regional Wellness Forum. The Regional Wellness Forum in Nome is made up of pretty much all entities of our community, law enforcement, social services, and we meet quarterly. And as a community work group, we are in strong support of having a say on to deal with the matters of alcohol consumption in rural Alaska. And I appreciate the fact that we do have a member from Cordova, and with what we want to do is ensure that that the small community continues to get that representation. As a working in a youth facility out here, I see the effects of alcohol on a daily basis on what it's done to our kids and what is what their families are, and just want to extend my strong support of Senate Bill 261.
Thank you very much. Next, is there any questions? Okay. Next, we'll go to Bertie Trainer from Nome Regional Wellness Forum. Bertie?
Hi, this is Bertie Trainer. I'm director of Co-Ed Wellness Program, a federal suicide prevention program. I was asked to testify on behalf of Berta Wilson of the Regional Wellness Forum.
Okay, go ahead.
And should I go ahead and read?
Yes, yes, please.
My name is Berta Wilson. I am honored to have the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill number 261, an act relating to the membership of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date. I'm sorry I could not deliver this message personally. I had a previous commitment I could not break. I was born at home in Nome and will be 70 years old on May 1st. I am a wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. After living in this region for many years, I have seen what the ravages of alcohol abuse and other substance abuse is doing to our people. I'm retired now and devote a lot of my time as a volunteer to restore wellness to this region as the chairperson of the Regional Wellness Forum. The Regional Wellness Forum has successfully started and continues to support volunteer efforts such as the safety patrol and works closely with other agencies on various wellness and safety issues. I personally volunteer as much as 50 hours a week patrolling and baking cinnamon rolls and cookies for the safety patrol volunteers. We patrolled during permanent fund dividend New Year's Eve, and I did our best to keep residents and visitors safe and to reduce the rate of suicide, help themselves. I'm not alone. There are many others that are out there that have volunteered their time on the safety patrol. We can count on upwards to 150 volunteers from all walks of life. Without them, there would be no safety patrol. They are the real heroes. We have worked very hard to help our region. Now we need your help. Our next Region Wellness Forum meeting will be held at the Anvil Mountain Correctional Center on Wednesday, February 24th. This is the second time we have held our meetings at the jail to hear from the inmates on how we can help them prevent repeating their mistakes and ending up in prison again. According to anecdotal information, fully 90% of the prisoners will not be incarcerated if alcohol abuse had not been a factor. I'm sure you're all aware of the appalling rates of suicide, alcohol abuse, child abuse, domestic violence, and accidental deaths in the rural areas. We need a voice on the ABC board that understands our rural problems. Most of our villages are dry, yet alcohol is sold, they're bootlegged, and chances are good that alcohol comes from the house community is known. In closing, I want to state we are not against alcohol consumption. People have the right to relax and have an enjoyable time in Nome as a wet community. We just want a rural voice on the ABC board to ensure that our rural areas are not overlooked. We appreciate the role of the ABC board and are thankful for their past efforts. The board is critical in making sure that establishments that sell liquor conform to state law and do not sell to already overly intoxicated individuals. My phone number is 907-443-5312. My email is bwilson@gci.net. If you have any questions or need to contact me for further information. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to testify. Please support and vote for SB 261. We desperately need a rural voice on the ABC board.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead. If there's anyone in the audience, I see it's staff people, but if anyone would like to comment, I'll give you an opportunity here. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony then. Do my fellow colleagues have any comments or questions at this time?
Madam Chair, is there anybody from the ABC board that's...
There was. That was Mr. Fox.
Char.
He was with
Char. Oh, I'm sorry. He was Char. No, I don't see anybody. No one has signed up, nor is...
Okay. Well, you know, as we heard, Madam Chair, currently, fortunately, we do have the rural representation on the ABC board, but I think what the sponsor of the bill wants to do is just assure that this continues in the future. So, and I agree, and that's probably a good idea. This bill may or may not be needed, but at least it assures that the rural area always does have representation on the ABC board, which I think is a good idea.
Okay. And Senator French, you're shaking your head in agreement?
I concur. You know, I have some little quibbles with the definition of community, but this bill's got a long way to go before it becomes law, and I'm certain that somebody else can grapple with it, whether it should be community or city or some other designation, just to make sure that the intention of the bill is fulfilled by making certain that at least one person comes from sort of off the road system. And speaking of off the road system,
let the record reflect
on the 90-day session.
Joining us is Senator Al Kukesh. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm finished. Thank you.
And I would just comment, too, we're well aware that oftentimes it's difficult to even fill seats on the board. So with that in mind, too, you know, there's often we want to have those positions filled by a rural representative, and that's difficult. So this is just one more step to work a little harder and making sure that that we can dedicate a seat to the rural community. What is the will of the committee then on this bill? Do I hear a motion for Senate Bill 261 from committee with individual recommendations?
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to move that Senate Bill 261 be passed out of this committee onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations. And was there a fiscal note?
Thank you. Do I hear any objections?
Zero.
Hearing none, Senate Bill 261 moves out of State Affairs to Labor and Commerce. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good timing.
Sorry.
We were bogged down until you got here.
Yeah.
Oh,
wrong one.